Welcome in, podcast listeners. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We are rolling through the show and having a great deal of fun in the process. Want to let you know, we have got a lot to dive into. I'm excited about the state of Texas opening up, Texas forever. Also, we will talk with Chad Withrow and Joe Kinsey, both of whom are OutKick employees, about some of the drama surrounding Jimmy Garoppolo, Drew Brees, and more. All of that rolling in your direction right now. I'd ask you to go give us a five-star review. Right now, Danny G reads all of those, and you can impress him with your wit, your panache, and your charm. Right now, the OutKick podcast begins for all of you.
OutKick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for OutKick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I got optimism for you. I know the world is going insane. We're trying to cancel Dr. Seuss. Green eggs and ham, no more. All of the world has gone insane. People thought, oh, you know what? Donald Trump, he's the problem. Donald Trump is gone. The world is still insane. But I have some positive news for you. The Corona Bros, the blue checkmark loser brigade is up in arms, but I am rejoicing. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, has said every business can be 100% open in the great state of Texas. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. Texas forever. It's a little bit of a reference there to Friday Night Lights, if you didn't catch it. They are going to be 100% open by March the 10th, and they are also lifting their statewide mask mandate. Now, shortly after Texas did this, Mississippi did the same. I would bet to you that Florida, that Georgia, that Tennessee, that many states such as those, Oklahoma, Arkansas, are going to follow the lead of Texas in short order as the number of COVID cases across this country continues to plummet. In conjunction with that news, which I think can be substantial for the world of sports, and I will explain why momentarily, we also have a situation where the Joe Biden administration has now said that thanks to the one-shot vaccine from Johnson & Johnson, there now will be an ability to vaccinate every single person in the United States of America who wants the vaccine by the end of May. Biden administration saying by May 31st, every single person, regardless of age, regardless of health conditions, if you want to take the vaccine, you will have the ability to do it by the end of May. If that ends up being true, which, by the way, that isn't that long from now. When I was a kid, March to May used to seem like forever. Do you remember those days when you're like, man, when is school going to get out? Starting to finally turn a little bit closer to spring. The NCAA tournament is getting close. Had those great teachers back in the day who would roll the television. Remember the televisions back in the day, if you're around my age, used to have to be on like the rolling carts. They'd roll the television in and you might be able to watch a game that's tipping off at 11 or 12 earlier in the day if you're in the Mountain Time Zone or the Pacific Time Zone. NCAA tournament games tipping off usually right around noon or 12:15 on that opening Thursday. And you would start to think, hey, man, it's not that long until the end of the school year. But it would seem like it took forever to go from March to late May. We'd get out usually in late May in Tennessee. I know some of you guys have to go till the end of June, depending on where you are in the country, but we started earlier and got out earlier, and that's when my kids still get out. I think the last day of school here for my kids that are in public school is May 21st, so I can't wait. I'm going to head down to the beach. As soon as they get out of school, we're going straight to the beach, but doesn't seem like it's that far away. May 31st will be here before you know it. And my question for everybody out there, if May 31st is going to be a date by which everyone who wants to have the COVID vaccine can have it, why wouldn't every every sport, every stadium open 100% to full attendance on June 1st? Honest question. And some of you out there may say, well, June 1st is too long, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. But why wouldn't the entire nation be open on June 1st, whatever sport you want to go to, whatever event you want to go to? Maybe you're not a huge sports fan, but you want to go see a Broadway play. Maybe you want to go watch your kid's dance recital. Maybe you want to be able to just go sit in a movie theater and watch a movie with a big tub of popcorn and a Coke and sit down and have that kind of experience. Why wouldn't every entertainment center in America be open 100% capacity on June 1st? Tell me why. If it's scary to you, then you don't have to go. But if the vaccine is available, and if anyone who wants to get the vaccine, regardless of age, and I should say kids would not be included in this, but kids don't have major issues with COVID in the first place. But if every adult, basically 18 and up, has got the ability to just go in and get the vaccine whenever they want, why wouldn't on June 1st every sport be 100% a full go? To me, it should be. Now, there's also an argument that it should happen before June 1st. And that argument would be, if the state of Texas on March 10th is going to open up the entire state, and if they're saying businesses can be 100% open, why couldn't the Texas Rangers and why couldn't the Houston Astros have full crowds for the start of their seasons in April? Especially when we already had fans in the stands for the season ending down in Dallas. I know there are a lot of Dodger fans out there listening to me right now. The Rays and the Dodgers, if I remember correctly. And before that, the Braves and the Dodgers. If they already had big crowds in that stadium back in October, which they did, why shouldn't they be able to have full crowds present there? And I got another one for you. If Texas is opening up, you know that Florida is going to open up soon as well. And have you ever looked at the crowds that actually exist for the Miami Marlins and for the Tampa Bay Rays? They don't even need to have 100% capacity, because 100% capacity for those teams is often like 15,000 fans. So if I'm Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, I go ahead and announce that anybody who wants to go to a Miami Marlins game — are they the Miami Marlins now? They're not the Florida Marlins, right? They changed their name. I can't even keep up with it. And also, if they want to go see the Tampa Bay Rays, they should be able to go. In fact, Dub, do me a favor, research project right now. What was the average attendance for a Miami Marlins and a Tampa Bay Ray home game in 2019, which would have been the last year that we had normal crowds present? I'm going to give you a couple of over-unders here, all right? I am going to say that the Tampa Bay Rays averaged 16,500 fans. I'm jotting that down. That's my over-under, 16,500 in 2019. And I am going to say that Miami, that the Marlins averaged announced attendance of 14,900. Dub, have you figured out how many fans they had present yet? All right, you heard my numbers. 16,500 for the Tampa Bay Rays. How close was I?
Not too far off. In 2019, the average regular season attendance for a home Tampa Bay Rays game was 14,734.
All right. So, okay, that's the Tampa Bay Rays. I said Miami was 14,900. How close was I there?
Not quite as close. Still in the ballpark. 10,016 people average attendance in 2019.
I mean, that is unbelievable to have that small of a crowd.
That's shocking. And I already knew it was bad.
Okay. So those two teams, if you are Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, why would you not just go ahead and announce, hey, anybody who wants to go to a Rays game can go, and anybody who wants to go to a Miami Marlins game can go? Because if you say, hey, we're only going to have, let's say, 33% capacity, that's more people than are usually going to those games in the first place. Now, the advantage I can see here as well, and this might change things a bit, is do you know immediately what that would do for the Florida economy? And let me explain what I mean. Because I don't think you're going to be able to go watch, let's say, the Boston Red Sox or the New York Yankees in large numbers play in those towns. But in April and May, how many people do you think would go ahead and hop immediately into an airplane and fly all the way down to Florida to watch their team play for a 3 or 4 game series? I think there would be a massive amount of Boston Red Sox and New York Yankee fans in particular, who I believe they still play a ton of games in the AL East, and we still got to see exactly how the schedules shake out and everything else. But don't you think a ton of those guys would get on planes and fly down to Florida and stay in their hotels and help to spur the economy there? No, I just don't think there's any doubt. I mean, because, and sorry to cut you off there, but we saw this happen in the World Series. You couldn't go watch the Dodgers play in Dodger Stadium in Chavez Ravine. You couldn't drive in your car, park in that big parking lot, walk in, go get your Dodger dog, sit and have a beer and watch the Dodgers play. But you were allowed to go get on an airplane, fly all the way to Texas, stay in a hotel, get a rental car, and go watch the Dodgers play against the Rays in the World Series. And a ton of people from LA and a ton of Dodger fans from all over the country did that. Don't you think that Boston Red Sox and New York Yankee fans in particular, who are diehard baseball fans, would leap at the opportunity to go watch their team play in Tampa or in Miami and potentially travel to Florida for a vacation built around their team?
I absolutely can, and I think you hit the nail on the head going back to the World Series. We saw so many people, which was maybe one of my favorite COVID things of all time.
How stupid the rule was that you couldn't drive to the stadium and watch the Dodgers play, but you could drive to LAX and board a flight and fly in a metal tube surrounded by everyone to Texas, go stay in a hotel, get a rental car, sit in the stadium, watch the game, turn around, drive, make that entire trip back. And as if that were somehow not more dangerous in terms of COVID exposure than just sitting in an outdoor stadium in LA.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before a lot recently. All the flights are already full. I mean, people are willing to travel. So there's no doubt in my mind that people from Boston, people from New York would be more than willing to fly down to Florida, have a great weekend, go watch a couple of ball games in person for the first time in a year, essentially, and have a great time.
Yeah, look, and I saw that start to happen in terms of the data is all coming out. Because I said it anecdotally yesterday, 3 of the 4 flights that I was on to Mexico were full. I'm flying out to Utah in a couple of weeks for our kids' spring break. I'm going to be in Park City, never been to Utah before, excited for that trip. And I'm sure we've already gotten kind of notice that those flights are going to be full as well. And yesterday I saw a data point, Lyft said, And this is always kind of an interesting way to gauge movement as well. Lyft and Uber, obviously, are places where you can kind of check and see how much people are moving around. Lyft said that their business, they had just had the best week since the shutdowns happened back in March. So in almost a year, Lyft said, hey, more people are requesting car rides in the past week than we have seen in a year. So we are getting back to normalcy in many ways, based on the people who are the most terrified are able to get the vaccine. But I would just ask the question, I put this up yesterday as a poll question, and a ton of people jumped in, and I'll share the poll results for you here momentarily. But I asked the question, if anyone can have a vaccine by May 31st, shouldn't every sporting event and every entertainment site be open on June 1st? And a ton of people voted in that, and the vast majority of my audience said yes. And I said, I'll share the results with you, and I will. I'll dive into them when we come back in the next break. But I've also got an interesting theory for you. So my argument is, by June 1st, any sporting event that you want to go to, every Major League Baseball stadium, in my opinion, should be 100% open. If that is true, that everybody who wants to be vaccinated can be vaccinated by May 31st, whatever fears you have can be allayed by getting your vaccine. And if you are still terrified, even after getting your vaccine, that's not my issue. That's on you. You can choose to never return to crowded malls. You can choose to never return to a crowded concert. You can choose to never return to a crowded baseball stadium or football stadium ever again. That's your right. Some people don't like crowds. Older I get, less I like the hassle of crowds. I went to all the different NFL games this past year, college football games, college basketball games. I loved it. I could park easily. I could go get a beer without standing in line. If one of my kids needed to go to the bathroom, I could take them. I didn't have to worry about somebody blocking my kid's view because the seats are all packed together and everything else. I loved the stadium not being that crowded. I'm the guy who, if he goes to a baseball game in the first place, I don't want it to be crowded, right? One of the things I root for is, if I go to a baseball game, especially if I'm taking my kids, I would rather there hardly be anybody sitting around me. The kids can run around, they can get ice cream, we can get popcorn. I don't have to worry about somebody getting out of the way in order for us to get in and out of our seats. I would prefer that a stadium were half full for every game that I go to for the rest of my life. So I'm not a guy who loves crowds. But if you're truly terrified from COVID, you're going to have the opportunity to have your vaccine by May 31st. I don't understand by June 1st how every stadium is not 100% open for anybody that wants to go watch a game. I'll talk about those results with you when I come back. Plus, I've got an NFL conspiracy theory for you. I haven't heard anybody else share this. It is coming for the New Orleans Saints, and it involves Drew Brees. What is it? This is what we call a tease in the business. On the flip side, I'll let you know what my conspiracy theory is and why I buy into it as it pertains to Drew Brees and his potential future or not with the New Orleans Saints. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
As we went to break there, obviously we were talking about everything having to go with the fact that by May 31st, everybody can have their vaccines. And so I tweeted out yesterday afternoon, if every person who wants the vaccine can receive it by May 31st, as the Biden administration just said, shouldn't every sports stadium and arena be open for 100% fan attendance on June 1st at the absolute latest? This is probably not going to stun you, but my audience agrees to a large extent with me. You can find me on Twitter at Clay Travis. I love to poll people because sometimes the results are different than I would anticipate, and I like to see what you guys have to say as a group. 95% of you said yes to that question. 5% of you said no. Again, I'm not saying that my audience is 100% representative of the sports audience. There are a ton of you that follow me on Twitter. We have a monster audience on radio. There is no one in the country who is talking to more people in the world of sports radio than we are right now at this very instant, right? We are the biggest sports talk show in the country anywhere in the mornings, right? Cowherd's got a big show. Dan Patrick's got a big show. We're probably, not to brag, you know, I hate to brag or draw attention to myself, but Don Martin and Scott Shapiro, who are our bosses at Fox Sports Radio, have put together, back to back to back, the three biggest sports talk shows in the entire country. I don't think that's even remotely an exaggeration. I don't think that ESPN has anybody that is even on the same stratosphere as our three shows. And Gottlieb's got a great show. I'm not trying to call anybody out. Broussard and Rob Parker. There's a lot of good shows on the Fox Sports Radio network. But just starting off the day, in as you move through the day, we are dominating at Fox Sports Radio. But the reason why I say that is I'm not saying everybody agrees with me. There are people right now like, oh my God, no, that's my Corona Bro voice. Oh my God, no, are you kidding, Clay? You can't go to games. You'll die. I mean, there are people out there right now saying that to their phone. They're probably hopping my Twitter mentions. I won't see them. They'll send me emails. I won't see those either. But that's the way that those people think. They're like, oh my God, if you go to anything. But my point is, if you are really that person, if you are terrified and you are afraid, then Joe Biden, his administration is saying that every single person who wants the vaccine will have access to it by May 31st. If that is true, how in the world can every sports stadium and arena not be open for 100% fan attendance by June 1st at the latest? Now, this is a big jump. Yesterday, I was saying by July 13th, which is the All-Star game down in Atlanta, that I thought we would see 100% fan attendance. But we just had ran through. Dub, you were looking up. UAB has more fans for football than the Tampa Bay Rays and the Miami Marlins do for baseball.
Yeah, in 2019, UAB averaged 26,375 fans, which is 1,625 more fans than the Rays and Marlins combined.
Okay. So if I'm Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, I'm going to go ahead and say, hey, Rays and Miami Marlins, you can sell as many tickets as you want, starting with the first games in April. For other teams, maybe there's nervousness. Fenway Park's always full. Yankee Stadium, huge crowds there, right? And those states are led by people who are terrified of COVID. So it's probably unlikely that they're going to be opened up sooner. The Atlanta Braves have a big monster fan base from all over the South. I would think there's a good chance that Truist Park is going to be open sooner rather than later. But if I am a owner of a Major League Baseball team, or I'm a player, and I'm listening right now, and I'm seeing that Texas is opening up, I'm thinking to myself, all of our stadiums should be open in April. And I don't even have a problem, by the way, with every Major League Baseball player going ahead and getting vaccinated, every NBA player going ahead and getting vaccinated, because what's happening all over the country now is as they have moved down in the flow chart, right? Like they're opening up a lot more people to have access to the vaccine. I think that I don't think it's crazy to believe that by April, when we get to the start of the Major League Baseball season, basically a month from now, that it's reasonable to think that almost every Major League Baseball player could have already received the COVID vaccine. And I think the same thing could be true for the NBA. And there have been some interesting arguments about vaccinating athletes as being a way to encourage other people who might be afraid to get the vaccine to go get it, right? And so I think there's probably a decent argument for that. And I said on the show before, and I've made this argument for a long time, we used to, when I did local sports talk radio back in the day, I did local Nashville sports talk radio. They would come in, Kroger would, and they would give us a vaccine, the flu shot, right? Live on the air. They were advertisers, and they would give us the flu shot live on the air to encourage other people to go get the flu shot. And so I would take the flu shot live on the air. And, you know, we would talk about it. We'd do the show. Look, have you ever done local radio? I've done local radio shows from crazy places. Grocery stores, gas stations. Gas stations in the middle of nowhere where, like, people are like, I can't believe you're here. Literally, if you ever walked into a gas station where the sliding glass doors open, I've been sitting there doing a live radio show for 3 hours. I've done radio shows from gun ranges. I've done radio show. Basically, anywhere you can do a radio show from, I have done a radio show there before. So as a part of that, sometimes in grocery store, they'd come up and they'd give us the flu shot. And I was totally fine with that. I would be fine if somebody said, hey, Clay, you got a big audience of radio people. We want to give you the COVID vaccine, the one-shot version. Now they got the Johnson & Johnson version. I don't want to have to be keeping track and going to get multiple shots. I'm not going to run out to get the vaccine. But it's not because I'm opposed to vaccines. It's because I'm opposed to lines. Some of you out there terrified, first thing you want to do, my parents got the vaccine. They're 75 years old. They're elderly. They've had a lot more at risk than younger people have. They already got their vaccines. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law, everybody who is in my family who is 70 plus, all of them have already got their vaccines. Both shots, they're done, they're fine. They've theoretically got protection. They've got the COVID vaccine. I'm fine with getting the COVID vaccine. I'm not opposed to vaccinations. I don't want to stand in line. Like, I'm busy. So if they said, hey, we want to give you the COVID vaccine to encourage people not to not be afraid of it, I would do it. And I think there's an argument that there's value in doing that for athletes as well, because otherwise there might be some fear out there associated with younger people. So I would do that, and I think there could be value for athletics. But to me, it's a no-brainer that if everybody who wants to have the vaccine by May 31st has had it, then June 1 at the absolute latest, every single stadium and arena should be open for anybody who wants to go watch a game. That would be the very end of the NBA, right? Maybe the NBA Finals. That would be basically the entire baseball season. And it would mean maybe the end of the NHL season. I haven't looked to see when the Stanley Cup Final is actually going to be played. Maybe you'd be able to get in for some of those in terms of having full arenas. But what it would certainly mean is that every stadium would be 100% full by the time we got to football again in the fall. Because if they're back open on June 1, then there's nothing to worry about come July and August and then into September. And again, I'm not saying you have to go. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you're terrified of COVID, you don't have to go. But if we have unlimited vaccines for anyone who wants them, as the Joe Biden administration said we would yesterday by May 31st, then to me, June 1 is the absolute latest date where we don't start having full stadiums again. And look, a lot of these Major League Baseball teams don't have full stadiums anyway. And I think that would be an early test to see how many people are actually afraid and don't want to go out and get their vaccine. Because there may be a lot of people who are still afraid. There may be a lot of people who don't want to go to big events. There may not be the same demand for concerts and sporting events and Broadway plays and movie theaters and all these places that we would ordinarily go to. But to me, open-air baseball stadium by June 1st in the summer when it's starting to be hot all over the country, if all the vaccines are out there, there's no reason whatsoever why every stadium shouldn't be open for anybody who wants to go. And I'm going to get to my Drew Brees theory, by the way, before all is said and done. I did an amazing tease for it, and I didn't get to it. But thousands of you have already voted, and I just think that it's a no-brainer by June 1st at the absolute latest. Every single stadium all over the country should be fully open. Now, I think in Texas, and I think in Florida, and maybe in Georgia, some of those states, I think, are going to have full attendance even sooner than that. But tens of thousands of you are voting, and overwhelmingly, you are saying that by June 1st, every stadium should be officially back open.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
I don't know how many of you saw the video of Drew Brees working out, pushing the sled in LA. So a couple of things here. Drew Brees was supposed to go and golf with Tiger Woods. Drew Brees, in fact, was waiting at the country club for Tiger Woods when he wrecked his car that morning because they were filming a series where Tiger Woods plays golf with celebrities, and Drew Brees was going to be the celebrity that played golf with him that morning. Justin Herbert was going to be later in the day. Drew Brees was already there on the golf course. And so that event ends up not happening. Drew Brees still out in L.A. with his trainer, working out with a sled, pushing that sled. I don't know how many of you saw that video, but it was posted on Instagram of Drew Brees working out. Drew Brees now has turned 42 years old. And I have a theory about Drew Brees. We all saw that video of Drew Brees and Tom Brady on the field after Brady's Bucks went on the road and upset Drew Brees' New Orleans Saints. And then Brady goes on at 43 years old and wins another Super Bowl. And I think Drew Brees saw that happen. And I think he said, wait a minute, why would I retire when Tom Brady is 2 years older than me and he's still winning Super Bowls? And I think Drew Brees, feeling better now, back fully recovered, had a lot of injuries last year, and I think he's looking around and saying, wait a minute, I've still got some gas in the tank. This arm is not done. Look at what Brady just did. I also think he wants to keep his total number of passing yards career. But I also think the Saints are in such a salary cap mess that I think it's possible. Not sure that it's probable, but I think it's possible that Drew Brees could be angling to try to be able to potentially become a free agent this year. And I think he's trying to show the Saints, I've still got gas in the tank. And that not only is Brees looking at what Brady accomplished, but he's looking around at the Saints and he's saying, if these guys don't want me, there may be another team that I could join that I could have the same impact that Tom Brady had joining the Bucs in his first season. Now, some of you are going to say that's a crazy theory. Some of you are going to say, well, look at the connection that Drew Brees has to New Orleans. There's no way he would ever leave. I would say, look at the connection that Tom Brady had in New England. Sometimes people get tired of your excellence and are willing to have you leave before your career may be suggesting that you should leave. I think that's what happened with Tom Brady in New England. I think the Patriots believed Brady was on the downslope of his career, and I think, frankly, the Patriots were stunned by the success that Brady had with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If they had known Brady was capable of throwing for 50 touchdowns and winning a Super Bowl, do you think there's any way that the New England Patriots would have let Tom Brady leave? I think the answer is no. If Drew Brees looks at what happened with Tom Brady, he might be wondering, is there another team out there that would be interested in a veteran stepping in that feels like they are one player away from potentially being able to win a Super Bowl? And I think there are a lot of teams out there that could believe that that is true. In particular, I'm just going to toss out a few of these teams. I want you to pause and think about them for a moment and then say to me, you know what? You might not be crazy with this idea. Okay? So, look at the San Francisco 49ers. Would it be insane for the 49ers to look at all the talent that they have on that team and think, if we had Drew Brees, we could be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of 2021. Bring in a brand new quarterback, Jimmy G. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but Jimmy G potentially getting shopped for Teddy Bridgewater, that's an insult, man. They clearly don't believe that Jimmy G is the answer. The San Francisco 49ers could legitimately believe we are a quarterback away. What about the Denver Broncos? John Elway has gone to the Hall of Fame quarterback well once before. What if the Denver Broncos thought, man, what if we brought in Drew Brees? We got a lot of young talent at wide receiver. Good defense. Could he be a lot better than Drew Lock? I don't think that's crazy. They've already done it once with Peyton Manning. Just think about it. 49ers, Broncos, about the Bears. Bears just saw what Drew Brees did to them in the first round of the playoffs. Could they potentially be sitting around and thinking? Could the Bears be sitting around and thinking, hey, you know what? If we had had Drew Brees, we might have had a chance to win this game. Could the Washington football team, they made the playoffs and won the NFC East with a quarterback in Alex Smith who wasn't able to move at all. They gave the Bucs a run for their money with Taylor Heinicke, a guy who had never really played. Could they be thinking, this is a bridge with Brees? How about the New England Patriots? If they're not ready to go draft a new quarterback and they don't want to necessarily spend big money, all of their players come back, could they feel like Drew Brees is the answer? There's a lot of talk about Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins. What if the Dolphins, who almost signed Drew Brees with Nick Saban years and years ago, thought, hey, with this defense, if we brought in Drew Brees instead of Fitzpatrick, we get better and we have a chance to win a Super Bowl? All of these teams that I just ran through, I think legitimately could look at Drew Brees and think to themselves, we're a quarterback away from being able to make a run like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just did. And now Drew Brees is putting out a video of himself working out hard, pushing sleds. He's pushed the amount of time further and further into the future to allow him to make a decision about whether or not he's going to be back. What if Drew Brees wants the Saints to release him and actually be able to be a free agent like Tom Brady just was, and he wants the opportunity to survey the marketplace before he decides to retire or not and see what teams out there might believe that he is the answer to their quarterback dilemma? I don't think it's a crazy theory. I think, in fact, it could make an awful lot of sense. Drew Brees isn't just posting that video to show you that at 42 years old, he still has something left in the tank off the football field. I think he's looking at what happened with Tom Brady, and I think he is making a concerted effort to let the NFL know that he might be interested in going around one more season and seeing just what teams are out there that might be interested in bringing him in. I don't think this is a crazy theory. I bet you won't hear it anywhere else. But I do think it is a fascinating one. When we come back, if you're Jimmy G, what do you think about being shopped for Teddy Bridgewater? What are the 49ers thinking? And does Jimmy G have a future with the franchise? We will discuss that next. I appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Encourage you, by the way, to go download the podcast. Search out my name, Clay Travis. Search out Outkick, and you will be well on your way to hanging out with us as we continue to ride off into the future. Second hour of the program up next. My buddy Chad Withrow is scheduled to join us. This is Outkick the Coverage. Hanging out with you on a great Wednesday on Fox Sports Radio. Trust me on this. My Drew Brees theory, I think it might have a little bit of validity to it. We'll discuss that and Jimmy G and more next. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.